All right, praise the Lord. We didn't have Sunday school lesson last Sunday due to the preacher forgetting the recorder, and he had to make a Pony Express trip to the house to get the recorder to get the message recorded last Sunday. But our last Sunday school lesson was on February the 10th, and we were in St. John chapter 10, and we stopped at St. John chapter 10, verse 10. So I guess we had 10, 10, 10, the last lesson.
Yeah.
And we want to actually pick back up on that verse because a lot has changed since we had our last Sunday school lesson. And today, being February the 24th, we want to go right back to that St. John chapter 10 and read again that verse number 10. And that verse says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they may have, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." And we want to go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day you've given us to gather in your house. And Lord, we're so thankful, so blessed, Lord, to be able to be here today. We ask for your help. We ask for your blessing. Ask, dear Father God, that you'd help us to be a blessing. And we want more than anything, Lord, to do the things that are pleasing in your sight. And we pray for your help today in this Sunday school lesson. And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot has happened since we had our last Sunday school lesson. That's one reason that I wanted to go back to this verse, because a lot of things are going on in our country. Two metaphors are mentioned in this verse: the thief and the good shepherd. And the thief don't care a thing about sheep, and the shepherd loves sheep. He come that sheep might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. The thief comes to steal sheep, to kill sheep, and to destroy sheep. This whole passage is about sheep and the shepherd. And this verse has a negative and a positive meaning to it. This week, just looking at some of the things going on in this country, And I want to say this with some degree of charity, because you need to go and look it up yourself, because some of the things that it mentioned, I can't mention here in this Sunday school lesson. But in California this week, in LA, a news anchor dies from... they listed it as a meth overdose during a homosexual encounter at a hotel. Now, this is, I do a lot of the news searching on Fox News, and this is on the Fox News U.S. news portion of it. And I hate to admit this, but it goes in very graphic, detailed events concerning this man dying. And he had a wife, he had a daughter, and this perverted lifestyle, I guess, was his skeleton in the closet. And he met this thief at this hotel and left out of this world as we know it from the living. He left out of the living and now is among the dead. And it's a sad commentary, because the lifestyle of the homosexual is promoted in our country so much.
Yes.
And I really want to spend a little while on this. I know it's not a popular subject. A lot of churches, they're in denial. They won't speak for or against it. And I've got a little bit of good news concerning this. And the good news is there's been some bills passed to overthrow the Supreme Court ruling that made the gay lifestyle marriage to be accepted, and they said it was constitutional. Well, there's two places trying to pass bills that are overthrowing the Supreme Court's decision,
yeah,
or they're in denial of the Supreme Court decision. And since they're states, they're passing state laws, which is legal, and they're saying a lot of things about this should have never happened. And I agree with that statement, and I will read quite a bit. I've got one of the bills printed out right here, and this is the bill from Kansas. I won't read it right now, but it's House Bill number 2320. I'll read something about it here in a minute. But pertaining to that House bill right there, there's a Kansas GOP lawmaker that has apologized for signing this anti-gay bill after his daughter scorns him and wrote a public letter condemning her father's decision. And he actually signed this bill, and then he asked for his name to be removed. Now the Bible says, to whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required. And he was elected to this position as a lawmaker.
Yeah.
And you know, when you don't cater to the majority, but yet you sow favoritism to the minority or to the family, then you're actually not doing your job.
Right.
And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus giving a discourse, verse 13, about the salt, mentioned again in Luke 14, verse 34 and 35, he said, if the salt has lost its savior, it's good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. And in Luke, he said, it's fit for the dunghill. And he ought to have a little salt about him, mm-hmm, being in a position as a lawmaker.
Right.
And I'm thankful that North Carolina and Kansas are both putting forth effort to overthrow the Supreme Court ruling as pertaining to their state. And that's legal. I'll get on that here in a minute. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, casting down imaginations, and this is mentioned here in a minute, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, the reason I read that, this House bill here, they're addressing this matter of the same-sex marriage. Now, I can't read it all, and I shouldn't, because I don't want it to take the place of the Bible, but I do want to read a portion of it. By the way, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, which is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. But the Constitution of the United States, it's designed, you know, to uphold community standards of decency.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Bible laws, and then we got the laws of the land.
Yeah.
Now, Judge Roy Moore, he really is dogmatic about following law. He's a law man. You know, he don't fudge at all on the law. I've met Judge Roy Moore, but they overthrew him for the purpose of promoting homosexuality. If you knew the truth of all that, I've got to get on this. But the Constitution of the United States is designed to uphold community standards of decency. And there's some good news in here. The only reason I want to read this is I like good news.
Yeah.
Proverbs 25:25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country.
Yeah.
And this is good news right here. And it says, the following policies being non-secular shams, I'm glad they put it like that, that cultivate indefensible legal weapons against non-observers of secular humanism, erode community standards of decency, policies that permit legality, recognized, or respected marriage of any form. I can't say this word. Parity marriage, I guess. And what that is, it's just kind of like, it looks like a marriage, but it's not. It supposedly parallels a marriage, parity marriage, that does not involve a man and a woman. Now this is very precise, as Bill is,
yeah,
that a marriage needs to be between a man and a woman, and anything other than that serves no purpose. There can be no procreation from it.
Right.
And it says that the authorized the state to appropriate benefits to individuals who enter into a parity marriage,
yeah,
of any kind that does not involve a man and a woman. Policies that permit counties to issue marriage licenses to individuals who seek to recognize and respect of marriage that does not involve them. And I'm just reading excerpts out of this. You can download this House Bill and read it all, which I did read it all. This is House Bill 2320. That who seek legal recognition and respect of a marriage that does not involve a man and a woman. Policies that treat sexual orientation as a suspect class or a basis of prohibited discrimination under the assumption that a parity marriage that does not involve a man and a woman are part of American history or heritage. Policies that respect a person's unproven belief that they were born the gender that does not accord with the anatomy in which the individual was born. You see, this confusion shouldn't have never, ever had a foot to stand on, but that's how far a little leaven can get. And it goes on. It says, policies that permit the state to appropriate tax dollars to pay for sex change operations, policies that ban conversion therapy, policies that permit public libraries, I really like this, and public schools in the state to partner with non-secular organizations to promote, to sponsor, to host, to favor, or endorse the drag queen story time or any other similar related secular humanist programming that target children with apprehension that the government approves, policies that mandate pronoun changes to respect the plausibility of secular humanist ideology, policies that respect, condone, ratify, I don't know who wrote this, but they've done a good job. Policies that respect, condone, ratify, or affirm homosexual, transgender, zoophilia, objectophilia, polygamy, orthodoxy, and sexual orientation as if the doctrines were plausible, moral, or decent, and not political ploy or imperialistic power play. Policies that permit a person or a parent to change the sex on a birth certificate that does not accord with anatomy that the person was born with. The state, this is my part right here, the state shall no longer be in the prodigy marriage funding, amen to this, an endorsement business, and shall disengage itself from the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, LGBTQ, secular, humanist theory. What they're saying is, we're not picking up the bill no more.
Right.
If you want to live that way, I mean, it's a free country. Just don't rub it in my face. Don't send me the bill for it.
Right.
And it says, a state shall not, through any government action, create, enforce, or respect any LGBT or any other secular humanist policy, whether directly or symbolically. Policies that respect and endorse a marriage between a man and a woman shall continue to be enforced because the policies are natural, non-controversial, and secular in nature. The state will continue to enforce, respect, endorse, recognize marriage policies between a man and a woman because such marriage policies have primary secular purpose and they contribute to the community. The state will only issue marriage license to a man and a woman who meet the requirements by the government state agency because such state action is secular and does not excessively entangle the government with any religion or does not recognize or endorse a religion. This act shall take effect and be enforced from and after its publication in the statute book. Now, I only read part of that, but you see how far it can go.
Yes.
You see how big a mess it can make. It brings a burden on the church. It brings a burden on the schools. It brings a burden on the community, on the public. And it's, you know, this verse kind of brings it out. The devil only wants to cause trouble.
Yeah.
This news anchor, he died. And he died because he gave place to the devil. Mm-hmm. If anyone would dare go look this up, the details of this California L.A. Los Angeles news anchor dying from this homosexual encounter at a motel, you'll understand just how far-fetched this can go to the extent this perversion can get. This man died the most inhumane death I've ever heard of in my life. I mean, it made my ears tingle to think that it could go that far. Jesus, all he wants to do is love you. He wants to bless you.
Right.
He wants to give you life. He wants that you might have life more abundantly. And the devil wants just the opposite of that for everyone because he hates them.
Right.
Jesus loves you. The devil hates you. You give place to the devil, he'll kill you. You give place to the Lord, he'll forgive you. He'll save you. He'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He'll give you the blessing of God upon your life. The Bible said the way of transgressors is hard. Now, another thing about this verse right here, seems like all the blame goes on God.
Yeah.
Nobody never blames the devil for nothing.
That's right.
I live with my parents. I don't think I moved out till I was about 18, I think. And in all those years of living with my parents, all I heard was, God, get the blame for this. God, get the blame for that. I can't use the words they used, but I remember they blankety blank God this, blankety blank God that, and I thought that's the way it was. I thought God was the one causing all our trouble. God was there for my family, wanting to help us, and we would not let Him. And a lot of people fit that criteria.
Amen.
The Bible says in Psalms 46 verse 1 that God is a present help in time of trouble. He's
yeah.
the refuge
yeah.
of help. He comes to us when we need help. He refuses none. And the devil wants to come in and cause havoc.
That's right.
Boy, when the devil gets in the house, you read some of it. You read about where a son killed his parents. Or where a daughter come in and stabbed her mother.
Yeah.
Or you read, you know, where the son commits suicide. Or the daughter overdoses. They think life's not worth living. Listen, the wrong kind of life isn't worth living.
That's
but
right.
you give Jesus a place, and not only is life worth living, but He'll give you more abundant life than what you know of life already.
Amen.
This verse is so wonderful. Jesus says in verse 11, He says, I am the good shepherd, and He is. He says the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep, and He did.
Yes, He did.
He gave His life for us.
That's
There was no other way. We were in over our head in sin. Sin demands a payment. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. It also says the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus the Lord. Let me go back to another place here concerning sin mentioned in the book of James. I thought about this newscaster when I read this verse. Hey, Phyllis, Mitchell, come on in. Y'all missed the highlight of this Sunday school lesson. It's probably good you've missed it.
We heard you out there.
It's terrible. But this newscaster met a terrible fate. And you say, how could he end up like that? And yet it's brought out real clear in the book of James. And it talks about in verse 14, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. This newscaster somehow got drawn away from his wife. He somehow got drawn away from his daughter and somehow ended up in some kind of perverted sexual encounter with another man and died. But this verse tells what sin does to you. It'll draw you away of your own lust. It will entice you. It'll deceive you. Verse 15 says, then when lust has conceived. That conceiving, it talks about the fruit of this. And the fruit of sin is death. When lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And then that next verse is a warning. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, if someone had somehow been able to get to this man, he might be alive today. But he's done fell prey to this one mentioned in John 10:10.
Yeah.
This thief wants to kill. He doesn't love you. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal every bit of joy that God has for you.
Right.
He wants to rob you of every opportunity that you have to go to heaven. He wants to somehow kill you before you get to a place of repentance that you might be able to be forgiven and be saved. And he wants to destroy everything you've got.
Amen.
Are you talking about an enemy? This is the kind of enemy that no one should have. He never gives up.
Amen.
He's always in pursuit.
Yes.
But I'm glad that verse also mentions about a good shepherd. Jesus being that good shepherd, he said, I am come. Boy, if he hadn't came, where would we be?
Yeah,
that's right. Amen. He left footprints on the water.
Right. Amen.
He brought good news.
Yes, he did.
He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, if you believe in God, believe in me.
That's right.
He had what he needed and he was willing to give it.
Amen.
And I could have oceans of it.
Yeah.
He didn't say you can just have a drop. He said, you can have all you want. I'll give you as much as you want.
Amen.
You can, just enjoy the things of God that are freely given.
Amen.
Sometimes I get something, they say it's free. Next thing I know, I get a bill in the mail.
Right.
It ain't like that with this fellas.
No.
I'm glad it's free. All the things of God, every gift of God come down above and they're all free. But he gives them through his son Jesus. This good shepherd here, he's the opposite of the thief. He gives his life for the sheep. Matter of fact, giving his life was not only the only way to bail us out, but by giving his life, he destroyed the devil, the Bible mentions in Hebrews chapter 4. You know, the devil, he didn't see this coming. He thought he won. Let's see, it's actually Hebrews chapter 2, I believe. Let's see here. In Hebrews chapter number 2, starting in verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. See, he was God manifested in the flesh.
Yes.
likewise took part of the same, but through death. That's why he died. He gave his life, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil come to kill. He had the power to kill. And Jesus destroyed him in a way that the devil didn't even see it coming. The Bible said the princes, well, had known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord.
Right.
But the devil was with glee to see the Lord beaten. And with joy, he was glad to see him crucified. He was glad to be able to stir up the mob, crucify him,
right.
Crucify him, away with him.
Right.
We have no seat, no king but Caesar. But he destroyed the devil through death. And he delivered them, that's you and me,
right.
Who through fear of death. You see, I used to be afraid to close my eyes.
Yeah.
I can remember about a 10-year-old boy being afraid that, because I don't know about y'all, but my mama used to come in there and we were just kind of religious. We wasn't saved or nothing, but we'd come in there and we'd pray. And I still remember me and mama kneeling down there by the bedside and we just pray a little child's prayer and she'd lead us. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to
right.
keep.
Amen.
If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And that little old child prayer kind of spoke to my heart. And
that's
right. Why I was kind of afraid to go to sleep, because I got to thinking, if I should die
right.
before I wake, you know, death is something that has to be dealt with.
Right.
I mean, I turned 65 this week, but everybody don't make it to 65.
Right. No, they don't.
My daughter lived 17 years and 1 week, but you know, she took care of that at the age of 10 years old. And by taking care of that matter of dying, it made her death more bearable. We had a little thread of hope. We wasn't without hope. I mean, we were devastated that our daughter died, but there was a little thread of hope. The Bible says, Saul will not, as others which have no hope. We wasn't without hope.
Right.
We had that
right.
little thread of hope.
Exactly.
But anyway, I remember I was afraid of dying, and Jesus took him, he took himself through death to destroy the devil, but also he took himself through death to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I ain't afraid of dying no more, is what I'm trying to say.
That's right. Amen.
And now, buddy, I sleep like a baby. My wife one time, you know, she just kind of caught me at a bad time. She said, I wish I could sleep like you. I said, honey, just get right with God. It's a package deal. She said, I'm not your life.
Amen. There you go.
Oh, I probably shouldn't put it in those terms, but I have to admit, he gives his beloved rest, and I do. I've championed sleeping. And the reason I've championed sleeping is, you know, death no longer can lay claim to me. And the worst thing that happened to me is to wake up in heaven, and that may happen one of these days. I don't know. I know the storm hit last night, shook the house real good, and I fell down, it's a privilege. I said, Father, those that abide under the shadow of the Almighty be feared from harm. I said, we claim that promise. Watch over us. And
yeah.
Watch over my brothers and sisters in Christ and their families and houses. Lord, we pray that you'll keep us under the shadow of your wing. And my brother-in-law, he called me and asked me to pray for his nephew, Daniel. They're flooding down in Tennessee, and he was down there trying to rescue people. And he's a first responder, a rescuer, whatever. And they had boats going to houses trying to get people out because they'd been flooded because they had let water out of the Wolf Creek Dam due to all the rain. And I prayed for Daniel last night. That's a privilege that we have through having the Good Shepherd. As our shepherd, we have privilege of prayer.
Yeah.
We have peace about the matter of death. It's no longer a threat. Somebody said it's like somebody taking a bee and pulling a string around and said all they can do is buzz you. Can't hurt you no more.
Right.
And he took that out. And he gave his life for us. And then he goes on verse 12. All right, we've got all kind of time. But he that's a hireling And our message today will be kind of like this verse right here. You know, one thing the Lord warned about, He said, in the last days, He said, there will come many in My name and deceive many. One thing that of the last days, one of the things that's predominant is deception. Now, as long as I got this right here, I have to admit, I can't be deceived.
That's right.
I mean, John 17, Thy word is truth. It's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18, Titus 1:2, God who cannot lie. So I've got the truth. And I believe it's 2 Timothy 3:16. But this is instructions and righteousness. So I've got the instruction manual.
Right.
So I don't have to worry about being deceived. Now somebody can come to me and say, you just don't know your Bible. Now I've had a few of those. And when it's all said and done, come to find out they didn't know as much Bible as they thought they knew.
That's right.
Now the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Now notice that next part. Rightly dividing. That's where a lot of people get mixed up.
Amen.
Right.
Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, my pastor gave a really good illustration of rightly dividing the word of truth. He said you can't take a verse of where it says Judas went out and hung himself and connected where Jesus said, go thou and do thou likewise. He said they just don't go together. And a lot of people approach the Bible like that, and they put things where they don't belong. And anybody that knows any Bible at all, and I know somewhat of it, I sort of don't want to boast of too much here, but anybody that knows any Bible at all knows how to put things where they belong.
Yeah.
Now sometimes this Bible is speaking to the Jews. Sometimes this Bible is speaking to the Gentiles. Sometimes this Bible is speaking to the church. Sometimes this Bible is speaking to the world.
Right.
And sometimes this Bible is speaking to the lost. And you got to put it where it belongs. Now, the reason I said that is that Matthew 24 there, I ain't going to be around when all that hits. And I'm glad I ain't. I'm kind of allergic to pain anyway. But we'll probably get right to the brink of it.
Right.
Now, if you want to know why you ain't going to be around, I'll show you why you ain't. This is important to know this as a child of God.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't want to go through the tribulation. No. And there's some people that think we're going to go, and that's where a lot of the confusion comes in at. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, for God hath not appointed us. This is so important. You can read verse 8 there because we're of the day. But He's not appointed us to wrath. The tribulation is when God's wrath is going to be poured out upon this earth.
Right.
But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is going to come and get us before all this hits. Let me tell you something, buddy. We're the only thing holding it back.
That's right.
Right now, we're in the way. But we're going to be taken out of the way. And when we're taken out of the way, buddy, it's on. Now, you can see that in 2 Thessalonians 2. And it talks about us being taken away. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. The devil's already doing his job.
Right. That's right.
Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. We're going to be taken out of the way. You know, I have to admit, someone said it very well, that a boat in the water doesn't sink as long as the water doesn't get in the boat. But when water starts getting in the boat, you either got to bail the water out or the boat's going to sink. A lot of churches are letting a lot of this stuff, and y'all missed this first part of this Sunday school lesson. A lot of churches are letting a lot of this go on.
Yes.
And they're trying to make things gray instead of black and white.
Right.
Listen, there's no 50 shades of gray with God. The Bible said in 1 John 1, I think it's verse 5, this is a message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you. This is important. that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. There's no 50 shades of gray with God. Now I know the world wants to somehow compromise this word, somehow compromise sound doctrine. And you know, I hate to say it like this, but the world thinks somehow they're going to have peace down here. The Bible tells us plainly, the Prince of Peace is going to come.
That's right.
But we're not going to have peace.
No.
No.
There is going to be a form of peace, and I'll read that here in a minute. But notice this, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. A lot of people, really as a church to speak, or so to speak, they're living the lie. They don't want the truth.
Right.
They shunned it.
Yeah.
Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the word. He said, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. For the time will come, that's where we're at now, when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and be turned from the truth to fables. You know, you live the lie when you turn from the truth to fables.
Right.
And he said, and they walk in darkness. He said, we lie and do not the truth, but if we walk in the light. Now, does anybody know what walk in the light means? You see, low in the volume of the book, it's written of me. The entrance of His Word gives light. His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. If you want to walk in the light, it's got to be right here.
Amen. Right.
Now, the more time you spend in here, you'll be like Moses. You'll start glowing like a light bulb. Somebody will say, wow, you look a little different. You say, I've spent a little time in the Bible.
Right. Amen.
And I have to admit, it's kind of luministic. It'll light you up. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, you ain't going to find God nowhere else but right here.
Right.
That's right.
Until He comes back. We have fellowship one with another. Somebody said, I wish I could have fellowship with God. Get His book out.
That's right.
Man, He'll fellowship with you. I don't know about y'all, but when I read my Bible, somehow God speaks to me to the point I just close it up and I just let Him speak.
Right.
And sometimes I'm reading this Bible and we're kind of having a conversation. I say, Lord, what's that mean? He opens it up to me. But as we're walking in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's the only way you can have fellowship with God, is by communing with Him and spending time with Him in His Word.
Yeah.
All right, let's somehow get back to where we was. The hireling. But he that's a hireling, that's a false preacher, a false teacher. I hate to say this, but it's probably a good time as any to say it. First time I ever pastored a church was up in Columbia, Kentucky. And the name of the church was, and it's a good church, was Cornerstone Free Will Baptist Church, and it was an independent church. And I went up there, Jesse Wheeler put a phone number in my hand, said, Brother Eddie, there's a church up in Columbia. He said, they need a pastor, and I really feel the leadership of God. You'll at least call them. And I did, and they said, come on up. And I went up there, and they had a Sunday school teacher, and he was teaching heresy. And you know, my pastor told me, he said, Eddie, if you're unkind, you're the wrong kind. So I just sit there. And I just kind of, for lack of better words, I just kind of forbeared it. Until one day he said, ain't that right, preacher? Now that was a big mistake. Because that changed the dynamics.
Amen.
It's either lie or say, no sir, it's not. And I didn't just stop it, no sir, it's not. I gave him Bible scripture backing up why I said, no sir, that's not right. You know, that's the salt I'm talking about. If we ain't got no salt, we're good for nothing. Now, I didn't go up there to cause no trouble. But he put me in a position, I didn't have any choice.
Right.
It's either lie and say, amen, or it's say, no sir, it's not. And how many people melted in there? I hadn't been there 2 weeks. My deacon over there, he's a good man. I pray for him all the time. He taught me a lot. He really did. Taught me a lot of things that, as a young preacher, I needed to know. He was good solid deacon. Brother Head's a good solid deacon. I appreciate that. They really help the preacher. But I could almost hear my deacon over, like, oh my, what are we going to do now? But you know, I gave him the Bible scripture to why I couldn't say that's right. See what I mean?
Amen.
Well, we got a lot of churches going on today, and I certainly don't want to cause no trouble. Right. But there ain't many things that ain't right.
Right, exactly.
And I'm glad we got a Bible. Amen. Look, you read there in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, and those Grecians there, the Bible said they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, mm-hmm. and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were right or not. Now, there's a conduct to adhere to. I mean, if my pastor was to ever say something that I thought wasn't right, I certainly ain't going to jump up. You heretic, that ain't right. The Bible said let everything be done decent and honest in the church.
Right.
I had went to my pastor before, and I said, Brother Rick, I don't know if I misunderstood you or not, but you said this right here. And actually, you know, he convinced me of the fact that he was mighty right and I was mighty wrong, and I saluted him for it because I want to know the truth.
That's
see what
right.
I mean? I was just a babe in Christ.
Right.
I had zeal. Paul talked about Israel, said I bear America, they got zeal, but not according to knowledge.
Right.
Well, I had the zeal, but I didn't have the knowledge.
Amen.
I was a novice,
right.
and I had a lot of Bible to learn.
Amen.
And he really, really graciously, he schooled me, showed me the right way to write and divide the Bible and put things where they need to be. I didn't have a problem with that at all, man. I was there to learn. But there's a right way to do everything. Now, I told you about that situation at church because I was put on the spot. If that teacher, and I'm sitting on the front row, if he hadn't said ain't that right preacher, I would have never done what I did. I ended up being the Sunday school teacher. It's kind of where you kind of expect that. He was mad as a wet hen, talked to me after the service. He said, you teach next Sunday. And I taught him that Sunday on. He left after that service. I mean, I didn't really want to teach. I really don't. But I have to admit, I do want somebody to teach, but I want them to teach. You don't have to do nothing to get up here and read the Bible. If you'll just put forth some effort, I'll help you.
Right.
But, you know, I don't want to be put on the spot. Ain't that right preaching? I say, no, it ain't right, buddy. Now, that situation there, that was one of them right there, if you know what I mean. I mean, it was uncomfortable for me. It was uncomfortable for him. It was uncomfortable for that church, but it helped that church, and they growed exceedingly. We had people to come because they had heard some of the services from that church and joined that church. It went from about 12 to 200. I mean, it really took off, and I'm hoping the same will take place here.
Amen.
But listen, it'll only be blessed of God.
Right.
It'll only be visited of God when we stay with the Word of God.
Right.
Now, the hireling here mentioned in verse 12, he don't care nothing about truth. He don't care nothing about God. I mean, he's all about position. He's all, a lot of politicians like this, they're all about position, power. Power corrupts a lot of people.
My Bible says he works for money, not for the sheep.
That's true. That is true. But the position that he's in, he's got no place at all being there.
Right.
And Ed's exactly right, Brother Ed is. And he is a hireling. He's more interested in the money than
right.
he is anything. You know, I
right.
told y'all paying me too much.
Right.
I just want y'all to know I'm not a hireling. Matter of fact, I count an honor and privilege just to be able to stand anywhere for the Word of God.
That's right.
But I'm thankful that y'all do give me what you give me, and I thank God for it. And I think, you know, that the Bible talks about the man of God. You know, he's worthy of his hire.
Yeah.
And Paul, he gave us a lot of good instruction on that. And this hireling, he don't even care about the sheep.
No.
He don't care about the Word of God. He don't even care about the shepherd. His job is to somehow confuse and corrupt. Let's see here. Let's go real quick here. This would be a good example of a hireling here in 2 Timothy here. Mm. It talks about the last day's perilous time. We'll drop on down here about verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The hireling can never receive the truth because he had never got right himself.
Right.
So he's not a product of truth. He's a product of the world, and he never can achieve the goal because he's trying to come some way other than the way that Jesus said, I'm the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. Then he says in verse 8, now as James and Jambres withstood Moses. See, that they withstood authority and claimed themselves to be equal with Moses. And for lack of better words, brother, they met their fate. And God took care of that. So do these also, notice this, resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now look on down about verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That happens in a lot of churches.
Right.
Let's see over here in Book of Jude, right in front of Revelations here. Well, let's see if I can find this real quick. Let's start about verse number 10. It only got one chapter.
Yeah.
But in Jude verse 10, these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally. In other words, they got a worldly mind, and they think, you know, I admit, when I was a child, I spake as a child, and I thought I knew it all. But anyway, what they know naturally as brute beasts in those things, they corrupt themselves. They think they can handle it. Yeah. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam. Balaam was a corrupt prophet.
Right.
For reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These, let's see here. You know, I have to admit that I wanted to read verse 4. That's actually what I wanted to read. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That was the verse actually I wanted to read right there. But this hireling, he's in a position he shouldn't be in. Someone has gave him this place. Someone has welcomed him in, and he don't care about the sheep. And we'll get to that here about verse 13. The hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Verse 13 says, the hireling fleeth, because he's a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. That's a terrible predicament to be in.
Right.
When you find out behind the scenes what's truly been going on, and if you keep up with stuff much, you'll hear about young women being taken advantage of, and
right.
You hear about altar boys being molested and all of that. That shouldn't be so.
Right.
I mean, it ought not be so, but it goes on because they're hirelings. They care not about sheep.
Amen.
Pastors. God said, I'll give you pastors with a heart like unto mine, and they'll feed you the good word. And, you know, he mentioned that in Jeremiah. And you know, the pastor, he loves the sheep. He's an under-shepherd of the good shepherd, of the great shepherd. And he sets an example for the sheep. And he needs to set that example.
That's right.
I mentioned in the early part of this Sunday school lesson, to whomsoever much is given, Luke 12:48, of him shall much be required. He's going to answer one day what kind of example to the flock that he's been. That's one thing that Paul told Timothy, to be an example of the believer in word and deed. Now, earlier I mentioned about a news reporter in California, and this will be on tape so you can get the information off of the message, but he died from, they listed it as a meth overdose, but you got to read it. That's the only way you'll believe. I can't give you the details of this, but he died as a, they listed as a meth overdose during a homosexual encounter at a hotel. Now, he left behind a bad testimony. He had a wife and a daughter. Enoch left behind a good testimony. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, they left behind a testimony, I believe it's verse 6, that he pleased God. This man left behind a testimony, and we're all going to leave behind some kind of testimony. Make sure you leave behind one like Enoch, a good testimony.
Right.
But Paul told Timothy, he said, let no man despise your youth. He said, be an example. He said, let no man despise thy youth, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. See, we need to be good sheep.
Right.
And the preachers need to be good under shepherds.
Right.
We don't need hirelings. And I'll tell you what, buddy, when a lost person comes in a church, and that church is right with God, they won't feel comfortable.
That's right.
I know the world says, find a church of your choice. I'm glad I didn't. Man, I walked in a church and I was drunk. And I got back on the back row, buddy. And I'm not kidding you, he didn't hold no punches. The first thing I thought my wife told him everything that I've ever done. And I thought, when we get home, I'm kicking her hind end. Really, she hadn't told him nothing.
No.
It was me in a real church, and I was lost and undone. And when he got to preaching, Brother Danny, I got mad at him. I thought, who does he think he is calling me a sinner? I was going to hit him in the mouth on the way out the door. When it was all said and done, they sang it just as I am without one plea. They had to help me out of the church. I couldn't move. I've never been under such conviction. And I'm glad, praise God, it didn't last that long because I couldn't take much of that. But if I went somewhere where they put me to sleep and tickled my ear a little bit and said, you're a good boy, you'll be all right, I would end up being a twofold more child. I was already a child of hell.
Yeah.
But I for sure don't want to be a twofold more child of hell. I don't want somebody to tell me I'm all right when I ain't all right. I'd rather have somebody like Nathan put his finger in the face of King David and said, you're the man. Now, he gave a little old parable, and David judged himself in that parable, and he said, the man that done this is worthy of death, and he'll restore fourfold. And Nathan said, you're the man. Well, that's what, kind of what that preacher did to me that day. Man, he put it personally. I mean, he pinned the tail on this donkey. And I started seeking a refuge for my soul. It was an urgent matter. And I'll be honest with y'all, if I could have waited till next Sunday, I would have got saved at church. I couldn't make it the next Sunday. That's how much conviction being in the right church had an effect on me. But the hireling, he don't care about sheep.
No.
He don't care whether they're lost. He don't care whether they're saved. He don't care whether they come. He don't care whether they go or not. He don't care. And he's just, for lack of better words, he's somewhere ought not be. Whoever allowed him to be there had to answer to God for it. Jesus, verse 14, he said, I'm the good shepherd. Praise God for him. He said, and know my sheep. And he knows me as one of his. And he said, I'm known of mine. I know him as mine. Thanks to April 27th, 1988. The Father, he said, not only do I know my sheep and I know them mine, he said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Boy, I'll just tell you right now, boy, what a shepherd. He not only was the good shepherd, he was in the will of God, doing his Father's business. He mentioned to his mother at the age of 12 years old, know you not, I must be about my Father's business. He never denied his father or his father's work
right.
while he was on this world, on this earth.
That's right.
Now, a lot of people, and I made somewhat mention this a while back, a lot of people get all tripped up in this next verse. The Lord here said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Now, he's right here with Jews. And he's talking about other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, which talks about Gentiles, actually.
Right.
But some people have misconstrued that verse to think that verse is talking about them, and I will name them. The Mormon church thinks this verse speaks about them. That's crazy. I don't see the word Mormon there. Do y'all see it? Is it in your translation?
Yeah.
Okay, he said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. There was a lot of Gentiles that believe. You remember that Samaritan woman? She said, I'm just a dog.
Right.
She said, but the dogs eat the crumbs fall on my master's table. And he said, yeah. Woman, great your faith, be it unto you according to your faith.
Yeah.
And her daughter was delivered of that devil. I want you to know the Lord didn't turn people down. But he said, I'm come to my own. He came to his own, they received him not. And then he came to us. He said, I got other sheep which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. You see, that was a sacrifice of love.
Yeah, right.
He sacrificially, if I can say this word or not, he sacrificially gave his life a ransom for all
right.
in obedience to the will of his Father. It actually pictures Isaac yielding to Abraham up on Mount Moriah. And God stopped Abraham because Abraham was going to kill his son Isaac, because it pictures Christ in every detail, complete obedience to his Father. He never withheld Abraham's actions of binding him up or getting ready to strike him with a knife. But the Bible does go to say that Abraham believed that God was even able to raise him from the dead. That's why he was so willing to take his son's life, but there had been no gain to it. On the way up the mountain, Abraham's talking faith. His son Isaac says, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham's speaking in faith.
Yeah.
He said, my son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Right. Here he is.
That's right.
Here's that sacrifice. He said, my Father, do love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Notice verse 18, and we'll stop on this verse. No man taketh it from me. Boy, they wanted to.
Yes,
right.
Boy, they wanted away with him. Mm-hmm. They wanted him crucified. They wanted him gone. You know why they wanted... I probably shouldn't do this. You know why they wanted him gone? Does anybody understand why they hated him? See, he was real.
Right.
You know why they hate Trump? Because he's real.
Right.
You see, when something real shows up, it makes all the fakers look bad.
Right.
So here are these bunch of fakers, these bunch of broad phylacteries, these bunch of Pharisees that put on a big show, these Sadducees that say there's no resurrection, they all look great till real showed up. And when real showed up, they said, we got to get rid of him. He's making us look bad.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the way it is with our president. He's not a politician. He might not be a grade A president, but I'll be honest with you, he's getting a lot done. And I'm kind of glad that he's where he is. But Jesus says, no man takes my life from me. He said, I lay it down of myself.
Right.
He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. He said, this commandment have I received of my Father. We'll try to stop right there because it's 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
But you know, the Lord, he was in the will of God while he was down here. He was doing the work of God while he was down here. And I tell you what, buddy, he obtained the praise of man and of God, and that's almost impossible. But Father, we thank you for the privilege to teach from your word. In Jesus' name, I ask your blessings on it. Amen.